Almighty God, amen. I've been reading this week about all the miracles that took place for this nation that God did to make sure America succeeded. And it's just amazing. You know, there's some people don't believe in miracles. I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But we serve a God of miracles, amen. And this morning, our sister Katrina, her nephew Brandon Leach, who was in a bad motorcycle accident about a week ago, I think, he's still the same this morning. He is going to require reconstructive surgery on his face, on his ribs, on his back, a lot of skin grafts. But he can't, they don't know, Charles David, they can't do a CT scan because every time they try, his vitals drop. So they don't know how bad he is. He is in, he's heavily sedated. I would say that's a what they call a drug-induced coma. Is that what it is? But Timmy, Katrina's brother, you know, back when Timmy was at the tall, he played basketball for me. You know, down at the Nazarene Church, you know, they grew up in the same church we did. I'm sure Tim is struggling. He needs, you know, like a lot of us who grew up in church, when we're away from God, we're miserable, you know. And Timmy has a godly heritage. And I know he's you know, being where he's at right now with his son being like that, he's got to be miserable. And he's, you know, and I'm really concerned. I woke up this morning concerned about him, and I text Katrina and I asked her about him, and she said, "I'm really concerned about him." And I was like, "Wow, you know, God woke me up to tell me that, to be concerned about him." So I want us to pray for Brandon and pray for Tim and their mother, the boy's mother. I don't know her name, but just pray for the whole family. And then we're just going to worship the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. He is a God of miracles. Father, we love you this morning and we praise you. I magnify you and glorify you. I lift up Brandon Leach to you, O God. Father, I just pray that your healing power come down upon him now. Lord, allow the doctors to be able to see the amount of damage that has been done and what needs to be done to bring him to full healing and restoration. And Father, I just pray for Tim and the boy's mother, Lord God, and the rest of the family. Father, I just pray that you would touch them. Let your spirit, the spirit of peace that passes all understanding, lead them and guide them through this tragic time. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Dawn of creation, this world has been crying out for hope, for a hero to save us. We long for the supernatural.
But there is only one God who can save the day. So clear the stage, prepare the way, 'cause heaven and earth are singing. Glory, hallelujah. Let the whole world sing the greatness of our God. In awesome wonder, He reigns forever. We know the greatness of our God. His power is endless. He lives within us. We know the greatness of our God. We
years felt like four seasons of winter, and you'd give anything to feel the sun. Always raging, always climbing, always second guessing the timing. But God has a plan, a purpose in this. You are His child, and don't you forget. He put that hunger in your heart. He put that fire in your soul. His love is the reason to keep on believing. When you feel like giving up, when you feel like giving in, His love is the reason to keep on believing. If we could pull back the curtain of heaven, we would see His hand on everything. Every hour, every minute, every second, He's always been in it. Don't let a shadow of a doubt take hold. Hold on to what you already know. You put that hunger in your heart. You put that fire in your soul. His love is the reason to keep on believing. When you feel like giving up, when you feel like giving in, His love is the reason to keep on believing. It's the reason. It's the reason. His love is the reason. He's the peace in the madness that you can't explain. He's the hope in the heartbreak, the rest in the suffering. He's closer than the air you breathe, from the start to the end, to the in between. Don't you dare doubt even for a minute what He started in you. Yeah, He's gonna finish.
He put that hunger in your heart. He put that fire in your soul. His love is the reason to keep on believing. When you feel like giving up, when you feel like giving in, His love is the reason to keep on believing.
is your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. I don't wanna abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. I don't wanna abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. Oh, I don't wanna abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. Your forgiveness.
Together, and every
there to tell. For the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to spread. To the skies, heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens, now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive your anticipation, we await the promise to come. Everything that you have spoken will come to pass. We'll be right back.
praise his mighty name. Look at somebody and say, praise the Lord.
Praise.
Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. 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 Anybody need an offering envelope this morning? Praise his mighty name. Can you get him, Bernie? He's hard-headed, Deb. You know that. Amen. Anybody need an offering envelope? Bernie's got them. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty. No, I don't need that. I don't need to go over there. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. If you need a title for this morning's message, it's Why Does America Matter? I think she matters. Amen. Let's finish taking up the offering. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, that you give us seed to sow in your kingdom. We thank you, Father, when that seed's placed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God, you will expand it, multiply it, use it to expand your kingdom and cause a harvest back to the sower. For that we give you glory, honor, and praise. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Friday night we'll have a Sabbath service. I'll teach on the Sabbath at 6:30. At 7:30 we'll watch the movie America, Imagine a World Without Her. Hallelujah. That's Friday. I will not cancel. I don't have to work. I will be here with bells on. I don't know about the bells, but I'll be here. Hallelujah. Y'all blessed?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. We'll Facebook the teaching on Shabbat and live stream it, then we'll go downstairs. Hallelujah. So if Uncle George is watching, which I know he is, we will have a Friday service at 6:30. Amen. Hallelujah. You're blessed this morning. Whew. I tell you what, I could have really preached that scripture we read in Sunday school. That Jesus' prayer in John 17 to sanctify us, talking about his disciples and us, that we are to be sanctified by the truth of God's word. It's God's truth that sets us apart. Amen? So have you ever heard anybody use the term, say, well, that boy, you're lucky, or that's luck? You know, I never really understood luck. I watched my grandma. She was my granny wise. She was just a tad superstitious, okay. And so anyway, from an early age, I just never believed in luck. I don't ask me why. I just never have believed in luck. It wasn't until I got older and actually started studying the Hebrew language that I realized why I never did believe in luck. I don't even believe in coincidence. Okay, but I do believe in God. For instance, if I had somebody tell me about my father's business that he started 28 years ago, and he told me, he said, man, you're lucky to be in this family. And I said, well, I don't believe in luck, but I do believe in blessings.
Amen.
I do believe in hard work. And I said, I'll tell you why everybody doesn't have their own business is because it takes a lot of work, effort, and sacrifice.
Amen.
And it takes the hand of God.
Amen.
Amen. So it didn't, luck and coincidence has nothing to do with you. Luck and coincidence doesn't have anything to do with the greatness of the country we live in called America. I read this one man. He said this. He said that... He was talking about miracles. And some people believe in miracles, some people believe in luck or coincidence. I do believe in miracles. He said miracles are kind of like dew. You know, dew falls without the escort of lightning and thunder and the pitter-patter of rain. Dew's just there. No fanfare, it's just there. You go out in the morning and walk in the grass, your feet are wet. He said, that's kind of like miracles. You don't hear it, you don't see it, it's there. And I thought, you know what? That's like the hand of God. You don't see the hand of God, but God's there like that dew, amen? You got up this morning. I got up this morning. I had breath in my lungs. I got to eat my Special K cereal this morning because of God's blessing. Amen? On my life. And I think America exists because God's hand has always been on her. Amen? But I don't believe in luck, and I don't believe in coincidence, and here's why, after I got to be an adult, that I realized why I never believed in those things. It's because in the Hebrew language, there is no word for luck or coincidence. But you know what is in the Hebrew language? Blessing and curse. Curses are in the Hebrew language. So turn with me to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. Hallelujah. And I'll get back to America here in a minute. Page 20. Got a Bible like mine. It says in verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Amen. And then the Apostle Paul will tell us in his letter to the church at Galatia that you and I who live by faith and trust in the God above and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are the seed of Abraham, the spiritual seed of Abraham. Amen? And the thing that jumps out at me in this text, and of course, I always apply this text to Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham. But we are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. So this text applies to us. Now, our forefathers in America were Christians. They came here for the purpose of having religious freedom. That bunch on the Mayflower, William Bradford, and there was another William, his name escapes me, on the Mayflower. They were Hebraists. They studied the Hebrew language. They were God-fearing people. Amen? So guess what? They were the seed of Abraham, the spiritual seed of Abraham, because they lived by faith and trust in a holy God. Amen? And God said, I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. Amen? But God told Abraham, get out and go to a land I will show you. You know, I believe that happened to Christopher Columbus. Nobody maybe audibly told him, get up and go. But God unctioned in his heart. Get up and go. I believe God, our founding fathers, those people on the Mayflower, there was something in them that God was saying, get up and go to a land I'll show you. Amen. Amen. And God's hand of blessing, like the dew that falls on the grass, God's hand of blessing has been upon America. Yes. Amen? Yes. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. I don't know what page. You just have to, you know, find it. You can try page 263. That'll help you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, we're going to read quite a bit of this because I want you to see something. I don't believe in luck. You know, I hate to do this because she'll never confide in me again, but I'm going to tell on her anyway. Sorry, Amy. She stopped one time on the road coming back from Jackson. Now, if I'm wrong, you correct me, okay? Because she was sympathetic to a box turtle that was going across the road. And because she stopped to remove that box turtle, she escaped a bad collision. Is that really the Genesis story? Okay. All right. So, was that luck? Or was that the hand of God? Like the dew. Amen. Amen. Okay, it's my service. Come on. Give me a break. People watching, I can't talk over you. I can, but you know. It's happened to all of us, right? We could all get up and testify this morning that we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here if not for the hand of God. Most of you know me. Many of you I'm related to. You know that if not for the hand of God, I wouldn't be behind this pulpit this morning. I was a rotten scoundrel. Maybe not as rotten as some of y'all, but I was pretty rotten. Okay? Now don't transgress on me. Guys are quick to do that now. Don't go there. Verse 1, watch. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. High above all nations of the earth. Now let me say something to you. How many of you believe that this word of God that was written over 2,000 years ago applies to you today? Amen. And that God's promises and God's word accomplish what he set it out to accomplish. Amen? Right? So you believe this word. Do you, Jackie, believe that you should live your life according to the truth of this word? And if you do, that dew of God or the blessing of God will be upon you.
Amen.
Okay, so God gave this Torah to Moses at Sinai. Okay? And it was for the children of Israel. But remember, we had Christian forefathers. America, regardless of what the left says, America has a foundation and a Christian heritage.
Amen?
Amen? Which is founded on the Word of God. And when I read this morning, where it says, I'm going to read it again. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. God has done that, or did that for Israel in her day.
Amen.
And he's doing it again. But God has done that in America. There's never been, I got to tell you this. You know, some people that call America an idea, or the great idea, or the great experiment. There's never been a government that was ran by the people, for the people.
Yeah.
The concept of men and women living in liberty and freedom, without the threat of tyranny, a king, a monarch, or the rich elite running them. Man, America's the first to be a nation that's founded on liberty and freedom. God has truly set her as a nation high above all other nations.
Amen.
I don't say that arrogantly. I say that very humbly. Because God had a plan and a purpose for America. Just like God has a plan and a purpose for your life. America was to be a light shining on a hill.
Amen.
Your life, individually, is to be a light shining on a hill. Amen. Somebody say amen or oh me. Let me keep going. I want to keep reading here. I'll try to get us out of here by 2. You did catch that, didn't you? And all these blessings, verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herd, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. You ought to be praying that passage of Scripture right there. Huh? Declare that. God, I declare that you will cause America's enemies who rise against her to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way, and you'll cause them to flee before us. And we're talking about enemies on the outside of America and enemies on the inside of America. Let me keep going. The Lord will command a blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Notice God's going to bless everything you put your hand to. You know, my father, when he started that business, you know, he wasn't a spring chicken. He's 83 now, or will be 83 in October. But it was a difficult decision. But when he made that decision, he took all the cable out of his house. He didn't want anything to distract him from God. We drove to Virginia. I found these three trucks in a truck magazine. We drove down to Virginia. I just happened to have a set of cassette tapes. Now, y'all old enough to know what a cassette tape is, right? Okay. Still got them. There you go. And I had Kenneth Hagin, Brother Kenneth Hagin's series on his best faith tapes. And we played them going down. Dad told me later, he said, I had no intention to buy them trucks. I was just trying to appease you and your mother. We got down there and he asked the guy, he said, now what are you asking for these? And the guy told him, he said, well, I'll tell you, I'll tell you what I'll give you for them. He told the guy, and the guy said, I'll take it. But you know what? It came with hard work. Dad had to put his hand to it. Amen? He put his hand to it, and God blessed him. So many Christians are trying to get the blessing, but they're not willing to put their hand to anything. Well, God's not answering my prayer. Well, how many times you prayed? Well, I prayed the other day, 30 days ago, maybe, you know. You know, see, but I come out of a camp that said, if you pray more than one time for something, you don't have faith. That ain't what my Bible says. My Bible says I should pray always. Amen. With all types of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Amen. Bert Clinton, and I've told you this, but I'm going to tell you again. Maybe you didn't hear me. Bert Clinton is my favorite preacher. He's going to be with the Lord now. Bert was Shambach's day man. He said the church has, this was back in the 70s, he said the church has lost its ability to pray through, to stay in the conflict, to stay in the battle until the answer comes. Remember what the angel was it? Gabriel Michael, who told Daniel, you going to help me, scholars? Huh? Gabriel said, from the first moment you prayed, God sent me with the answer. But the evil spirits fought him, battled him. Daniel had to stay in prayer. Daniel went to pray every day. Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to use my R.W. Shambach's greatest line. His theology was wrong, okay, on this one particular verse of Scripture. His theology was all wrong, but his attitude and heart was right, okay? When he said the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force, the theology behind it was all wrong, okay? It's a bad interpretation. We know that now, but he didn't know that then. But he said a truth when he would preach that. He said, y'all need to know that you are in a conflict. You are in a battle. Amen. Christianity is under attack. America is under attack. Freedom and liberty is under attack. And the church needs to quit being passive and mealy-mouthed and say, hey, you know what? That's wrong. I don't believe that. You don't really believe that. You've been taught it. You're just parroting something somebody taught you. But you know what? The church has got to rise up. You got to rise up on your own as individuals. Then we can rise up as a corporate body. Amen. But Shambach would say, you're in a conflict. He'd be tall, about 6'5", 6'4". I had the privilege of meeting him. It was his preaching that got me back in church. It was his preaching that got me filled with the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. Amen. I wanted to meet him. I was shocked when I was meeting him. And way up there, he says, went to be with the Lord. The man had a fire about him. Amen. So, let me pick it back up over here. I got to hurry. We might be here at 2 o'clock. I said that as a joke, but. Number 9, the Lord, verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Oh man, I sure wish there's some folks afraid of the church.
Yeah.
But there's not enough people afraid of God. You got ministers saying, hey, you two guys, you want to get married? I'll marry you. There was when they first passed that law, when the Supreme Court first came out with that ruling, there was a guy that I knew here in town. I didn't know he was gay. But somebody called me and said, so-and-so is looking for somebody to marry him and his man. I was like, you serious, Clark? I said, he don't need to call me. I won't do it. I figured they'll be hauling me to jail because I ain't gonna do it. So I called my bishop. I said, Bishop, so what's Oklahoma? That's our headquarters. That's where all the big wigs of the IPHC are. I said, what are they telling us about this? They said, to simply say that the executive board, the IPAC church, does not allow me to do that. They said, our bigwig said, put the blame on us. You know why? They got the money and they got the lawyers. But I appreciate the fact that they were willing to take on the fight. Amen. All right, let me keep going. Verse 10, or verse 11. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, and the increase of your livestock, and the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. We need to get America back to that. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And now that was 14 verses of blessing, and there's 68 verses in this book. There's 14 verses of blessing, there's 44 verses of curses. My cipher is not real good this morning. Amen. And everybody I ever heard read this scripture stopped where I stopped. And I'm going to stop there too today. Okay? I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in coincidence. I do believe in blessing and curses. I do believe in obedience to God's word. Amen? Turn with me to Joshua. I got several verses of scripture, and then I got to get on with America. Turn with me to Joshua. Joshua, page 308. This ought to be a question we ought to be asking everybody today. Joshua 24. Sorry, I keep forgetting not everybody's got a Bible like mine. Hallelujah. Is my Bible better than anybody else's? No, it just happens to be one I like. You know, although there are some Bibles coming out now, I have to get Debbie to remind me what they were, but they are deleting major portions of Scripture. You know, major portions of Scripture. So, verse 14, Joshua 24, 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Around here, we describe somebody who fears the Lord or fears God, not as somebody who's cowering, thinking God's going to strike them down, but someone who fears God. Fear actually carries the idea of respect and awe. Someone who fears God is living according to the statutes and commandments of God, according to truth. Let's read that verse again. He says, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth. Someone that fears God is serving him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served and were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If I had one question to ask every Christian person, I would ask them, or I would tell them, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. I mean, I listen to some preachers. I've watched very little Christian television, I will admit it, okay? Very little Christian television I have select people that I trust, that I watch. But you know, if you watched 8 hours of Christian television, you'd be confused. You'd be seriously confused. Because there's very little. Well, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to keep on going. Yeah, there's very little that indicates they're brothers, or that we serve the same God. Sorry, not really. All right, now let's go to another favorite passage. We're going to 1 Kings. We're going to 1 Kings. Not going to read as much as 1 Kings because I got to get to America. And I only got an hour and a half. I don't know what page. Oh, yeah, I do. 469. 1 Kings chapter 18. You know the story. This is Elijah. Oh, man, you got to like Elijah. I need to remind you, I'm not reminding you enough of the word that God gave us at the beginning of this year. I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. Glory to God. I'll read that to you. You know what's happening here? Ahab and Jezebel. Old Jezebel. You never hear anybody naming their kid Jezebel, do you? No. That may be a truth that the whole world's got a hold of, I guess. Jezebel, not good. But you know the story. Ahab and Jezebel, Ahab's been more sinful than his father and his father's fathers. And he allowed Jezebel to bring in her priests. Her father was a priest of Baal. And she's brought that pagan god into the Israeli society. And Elijah shows up. You know, I got to tell you, Back in the ancient times, when the prophet showed up, people were nervous. People were nervous. Are you for us or are you against it? Well, he was for you because he's there. But you're probably not going to like his message. Amen. Some people don't like to hear a message that causes them to have to think and change some of the things that they're doing in their life. Amen. But generally when I'm preaching, I'm not preaching down to you. I've been in God's doghouse or in his, back behind his woodshed. He's dealt with me. You're just getting the overflow. You know? So you know the story. Now Elijah is going to challenge, right? He's going to challenge the prophets of Baal. You get a bowl, I'll get a bowl. You get some wood, I'll get some wood. Oh, by the way, I'm going to put water on my bowl and my wood three times, I believe it is. Three times they poured water on there. That's so much water it filled the ditches. Of course, the prophets of Baal, they cut themselves, they danced, they cried. Nothing came from heaven. No God came and consumed the sacrifice. But Elijah prayed, and the fire of God came down and consumed the sacrifice and licked up all the water that was in the trenches. Amen? Showing off. So verse 40 it says, pick it up in verse 40. Show up and show off, God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, one of my favorite places in all of Israel, Mount Carmel. Because you can look down and you can see the Jezreel Valley, also known as the Valley of Armageddon. And every now and then, there wasn't a plane there, but there's a plane. Because Israel keeps their warplanes underground. Kind of adds to the mystique of the Valley of Armageddon. Amen? Been a lot of battles fought at Armageddon. Okay. But that's where Elijah's at. He's at the top. And by the way, Elijah's still at the top of that Mount Carmel today. You can go there and see him. He's a statue, but he's there as a statue. All right. Then, where did I leave off? Verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind. And there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Ahab ran faster, or no, Elijah ran faster on foot because the power of God was on him than Ahab in a chariot. What's my point? My point is this. That servant, Elijah, stayed in prayer. That servant went seven times. Not one time. See, we live in that society where we need to fix quick, you know? I mean, Lord, help us if we need coffee and there's three people in line at McDonald's ahead of us in the drive-thru. Lord, have mercy, I got to get to work. What are these people doing out here this time of day? And we got to have things, now, right? But how many of you know God doesn't operate on our time clock? Never. You know what? What I've found, this is my 25th year in full-time ministry. Man, time flies. I'm getting old. But you know, in 25 years, since 1990, I came back to God in 1990 and I've stuck with him. Or maybe he stuck with me. I'd say more he stuck with me. But in all that time, God has never plucked me out of a situation, Bernie. He always leads me through, but he never plucks me out. Maybe what America's going through today, God is leading us out. But we may have to go look again. We may continue to pray and go look again. Amen. Keep praying and go look again. Continue in prayer and go look again until the answer comes. But you know what? For all the world's woes, for all America's woes, it's going to take the hand of God. It's going to take revival.
Amen.
Amen. You ask the question. Somebody asked the question. You can't talk to these people. No, you can't. They're Nabals. Remember Nabal, the guy in the Bible that wouldn't give David and his men anything to drink or any food? And Nabal means is one of the Hebrew words for fool, but it means somebody who doesn't believe in God. Somebody who's hard-headed, hard-hearted, doesn't believe in God. Yeah, let me keep going. I got one more scripture for you, and then I want to talk about America. Go with me back to Deuteronomy, page 242. Deuteronomy chapter 8. My God, my King. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. I was going to read the whole thing, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. All right, you talked me into it. Verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. You know what? I think Christianity is going to have to repossess what was once ours.
Amen.
Amen. And we do that through teaching truth, preaching truth, and in prayer. Let me keep going. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments, look here, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, of springs that flows out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley, and vines, and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. You know, that's about Israel, but it applies to America. Amen. We have been that blessed. But after we've eaten and we're satisfied, have we continued to thank the Lord? You know, we had one president that said, if you build a business, you didn't really build it. Somebody else built it for you. No, hard work and the blessings of God build businesses. Amen. Hard work, the hard work of our forefathers of this great nation, our soldiers who fought in battle, is why this nation is great. Because of what they did and because the hand of God was upon them. We're coming up on the 4th of July. Amen. We're going to celebrate our independence. We're going to celebrate the fact that a group of men had the courage and the audacity to stand up to the King of England, a tyrant.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, they were considered treasonous at that point, facing the hanging of a crown. I love patriotic movies. One of my favorites is The Last of the Mohicans. Oh man, I like that movie. But in that movie, one of the commanders, British commanders, makes a promise. Makes a promise to the farmers, the militia. If the Indians and the French attack on the frontier, you'll let us out of our commitment to go back and protect our families, our homes, and our families. And guess what happens? It happens. They attack the frontier. And old Colonel Webb, he said, "I'm not going to let you go. You got to stay and fight." And they left anyway. You know, they considered them treasonous. Amen. That's why I don't trust government. I don't even like to pay taxes, but I'm going to read you a scripture in a moment that tells you we are required to pay taxes. I don't cheat on my taxes. I'd never do that. I'd be the first guy that got caught and drawn in for an audit. Let me keep reading here. I want to skip down now. I want to go down to verse 14. When your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of a flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroys before you. So you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. That's a warning for America. God destroyed Israel. In 70 AD, they destroyed the temple. In 73, the Romans destroyed the last fortress, Masada, down next to the Dead Sea, last Jewish stronghold. And then there was a bunch of them. They reared, the Jews decided they'd take on Emperor Hadrian in 135 AD, and he squashed them. And then Israel was laid desolate for almost 2,000 years. 1900 years. And guess what? God's restored her. But I don't want to see America destroyed. Not at all. It's God. I want you to remember this thought, because here in just a minute I'm going to bring it back up. I'm going to try to finish in the next 5 to 18, 20 minutes. I'm going to bring this up again here in just a minute. I was going to give you a bunch of stuff here about America, but I won't. But I will tell you this. Why does America matter? America matters because God cares about liberty. He cares that all men have a free will. Therefore, why does America matter? Because America is a wellspring of liberty and freedom. We're not like any other nation. God cares, I'll read this again. God cares that all men have free will and be allowed to exercise self-determination. He desires this liberty and freedom for all his children. However, at times through history, freedom has been defended and requires that we stand up to tyranny. Yeah. It must be defeated. Just like you have to stand up to a bully. Anybody ever been bullied? Man, I was little. I thank God for my cousins like Mike and Carrie Dean and Terry Reedy. They toughened me up. They didn't tell me that my mouth was going to get me in trouble. They toughened me up. It didn't matter how big you were. I'd mouth off to you. They didn't tell me that my hind end was writing checks. My mouth was writing checks and my hind end couldn't cash. Learned that lesson hard. Prior to 1776, it is arguable that every government formed by man was devised to protect the power and wealth of a monarch or a ruling elite. That's what's going on today. It's about power. The ruling elite want to hold on to power. The globalists want to hold on to this power. Amen. America was the first place on earth where the freedom and liberty of its citizens was the first priority of its government. I think our government needs to get their priorities straight again. Amen. Amen. The entire framework of government was designed to maximize individual freedom and to protect its citizens from tyranny by the government. Abraham Lincoln. They want to tear down Abraham Lincoln's statue. For goodness sake. Glory to God. My goodness. Abraham Lincoln acknowledged in a speech to the New Jersey Senate that our founders were motivated by a desire not only to assure the blessing of liberty and freedom for Americans, now watch, but to hold out a great promise to all people of the world, for all time to come. And that America represented the last best hope of all the earth. Amen. In his Gettysburg Address, Lincoln prayed that the government of the people, by the people, and for the people would not perish from this earth. I think we need to pray those words.
Amen.
America is a symbol of certain public virtues. There are certain public virtues that a free society must maintain in order to stay free. And any nation whose people do not adhere to these, they're not going to make it. The first one is, for a free society to continue to exist, the people must be committed to the rule of law.
Yeah. Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
The law reflected in the Constitution of the United States should be binding to all men and women.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. These people say, the Constitution's outdated. We need, don't give me that nonsense. No man is above or beyond the reach of the law, no matter the wealth or his influence that he possesses. So, you must have a commitment to the rule of law. Number two, a commitment to justice.
Amen.
All citizens of the nation must have equal access to the protections of the law.
Yes.
Amen. Any distinctions under the law between groups or classes must meet constitutional scrutiny. If they're making a difference of one group to another, then somebody's got to scrutinize it.
Amen.
And the third one is, you must have an inherent and adherence to private morality. There can be no public virtue without private morality. Why did the writer say private morality? Because I can be a moral person here, but what am I like at home behind closed doors? Amen. John Adams said this: we have no government armed with the power capable of contending with human passion unbridled by morality and religion. In other words, Mr. Adams said morality and religion were the bridle that would keep men from going amok. Like we're seeing today. Okay? Our Constitution was made only and can only succeed and stand for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to a government of any other. Oh, I just got 8 minutes. Benjamin Franklin said this, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of, I'm going to read that again. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. The more corrupt you become, the more vicious you become, the heavier the hand will be upon you. George Washington's farewell address, he said this, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In other words, for a free society to prosper and continue to be free, they must have a moral compass. And that moral compass must be the commandments and the statutes of God Almighty. There's no way around it. Amen. And the only thing that is going to bring us back to that place is if the Melech HaOlam, the King of the universe, hears our prayer and pours out his spirit and opens men's minds and hearts to the truth. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What's our job? Our job is to speak the truth. Our job is to speak the truth and to continue and pray. A nation cannot live in freedom and liberty unless it is populated by a moral and virtuous people. Now, real quick, I got to tell you this because of what's going on in the world today. All the protests, all the violence, all the lack of law. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I think we'll get it in here in 6 minutes. Y'all right? Hind end's hurt? I was supposed to have a guy who was supposed to come in and do something, fix some of them, but I don't know what happened. Number one, or verse one. Let every soul, Romans 13, page 1570, got Bible like mine. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. When I look at what's going on in America, now, Paul's not talking about tyrants, okay? When I look at what's going on in America, the corruption in the DOJ, the corruption in the FBI, the corruption that was in the previous administration, and we look at what's going on in the streets, people looting, robbing, people have been killed. When I see all that, I say, look at verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God. So these people are not only resisting and breaking the law, they're resisting God.
Yeah.
Amen. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. See, I'm going to get in trouble for this one. And I know there's a bad cop here and there, okay? But you know what? If you resist the police, what do you expect to get? I got to be honest. I mean, I know America. I know America has not treated all races equally. I'm not stupid to that fact. And it's wrong. But you know what? If I resist arrest, if I resist the police, if I'm fighting with the police, then I feel like I deserve whatever I get. Now, what that guy did to that man in Minneapolis, he killed that man, that was wrong. was very wrong. But I'm not so sure what happened in Atlanta was all that wrong. I'm just glad I'm not the one who has to decide that. Need to pray for those folks. That's a heavy revy there. It's easy to sit on the inside. Well, I'll, or sit on the outside and say, well, I do this and I do that. Yeah, you're on the outside. But put you on the inside. I read a book one time about a man, his experience. He signed up to be one of the guys that pushed the button on the electric chair. That's one of the first few books I ever read all the way through. It just gripped me. But he talked about what happened to him afterwards, the psychological and the spiritual battle he had after that. Even though there was three of them and he didn't know if he was the one, yet he volunteered. I think they paid him like $100 or something. You know, I can't remember the name of the book. I have to try to find that. I think I still got it. But you know, the people that have to make that decision, that's going to be a hard decision, you know, over that killing in Atlanta. But you know what? That doesn't give anybody the right to burn down Wendy's, to loot, and to keep other people from going into their neighborhoods. I'm telling you, folks, we need God. Now, I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm going to close. Jackie, I'm going to give Jackie credit for this. Maybe two things. I'm going to give Jackie credit for this. She read this a couple weeks ago, and I thought in Sunday school last Sunday, she's going to jump off of this scripture. And I, even though we did find out, we asked the question, I did find out that I am an inside dog. Okay. You had to be here. You had to be here. And not an outside dog. She was comparing your relationship with God. She's got two dogs. One stays on the outside and one stays on the inside. She's got a better relationship with the one on the inside. So it was good. But I thought you were going to go here, Jackie.
I didn't listen.
Oh, did you? Exodus 23 verse 1 says, you shall not circulate a false report. Man, we see that every time you turn on the news. You
know?
Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. But here's the one she said. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil.
Amen.
Hmm. Shall not follow a crowd to do evil. I was really worried about this march they had in Ironton because I wasn't sure what they were doing and what it was for or how it would end up. I was really concerned. This is... I don't live here, but this is my hometown. And this is the hometown of many of my family and my church family. I didn't want nothing to break out bad here. So let me say this to you real quick. What we're seeing going on, I want to, you're going to hear a lot more about this. But history tells us it's this guy named Francois Noel Gracchus Bafou. Whatever that is, however you say his name, was the father of socialism. Then there was Robert Owen, and you're going to hear more about Robert Owen. Have you ever heard of Harmony, Indiana? You know, Robert Owen was the first socialist here that we know of. Or he tried to live it out in his city called Harmony, Indiana. And then there was Frederick Engels and Karl Marx. And you know, Marxism, you can boil Marxism down to this. Karl Marx said that he wanted the people who produced, the workers, to own the companies that they were doing the producing in order that they would get the biggest benefit, okay? But Karl Marx, he never worked. He had one job as a, he wrote a few articles for a newspaper, but he couldn't speak English, so he had, what was his name, Frederick Engels write them for him. You know, he never worked. Then there was Edward Bernstein. But then there comes to Vladimir Lenin. And this is where the violence comes in. You've heard of Lenin, right? Oh, Vladimir, he didn't want the workers just to get the money. He wanted a revolution. He wanted a revolt. How many of our politicians have you heard in the last year or two use the word revolution? Revolution. Yeah, they wanted a real revolution with violence. Don't be duped. Don't be duped. Here's what Lenin did. Lenin had a small group, and the workers who were working in the factories actually were doing well. They didn't want a revolution. All they wanted was to do their job, get paid, raise their families. So he couldn't get them on board. But he had a small group. Now this is a dangerous part. Lenin had a small group. It weren't a big group. He said, "We'll do the revolution for them." And then World War I happened. It weakened the Russian government. And then the Tsar of Russia, he stepped down, opened the door for Lenin. Now Lenin and his boys, they were already in a revolution. They were using violent tactics. They were using propaganda like we see today. They were using violence. They were even robbing banks. Yeah. And that guy came into power. Now I told you that to try to light a fire under your prayer life a little bit, that what we're up against, that group might be in the minority, but I'm telling you, they're dangerous. And if we sit on our buns, we don't speak truth, and we don't get in our prayer closets, who knows? So I said that to you just to light that fire, because it's lit a fire in me. Amen. Listen, we need a revival, but we need God's people. We need God's people first. Remember, what did God say? I'll bless whatever you put your hand to. Yes. That includes your prayer life. Amen? Turn off Netflix. Turn off Fox News. MSN. Well, I don't have to tell most people in here to turn those off. They're already off. You know, turn something off and spend an hour a day in prayer. You know? We got, listen, like Shambach said, you're in a conflict. But praise God. My Bible says, did I tell you that, Debbie? My Bible says that God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm blessed this morning. America matters. The question is, does it matter? I said America matters. I said America matters. So that would be all life, okay?
Amen.
Well, thank you for keeping me in line. So, does America matter enough to you?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's celebrate the Lord's table this morning. You know, it's not truth that sets you free. It's truth you know that sets you free. Help me out there. Ladies, glory to God. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, a song would be good right now. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Glory to God. Terry's kind of like a mad scientist up there. He's got to do all this stuff to keep everything rolling. Probably like the Wizard of Oz back behind the curtain pulling all the levers. You watch The Wizard of Oz? Yeah. You won't go to hell if you watch The Wizard of Oz, okay? God, my God. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Hey, Debbie, we're taking communion.
You are here.
Oh, I didn't know anybody went down to tell you.
In our midst, I worship you.
God that takes away the sin of the world. That your blood, your power, that power that's in that blood is still washing men and women's sins away. I thank you, Lord, that you are the immerser, baptizer, and the Holy Spirit, that you are our high priest and you are our soon coming king. Lord, we thank you that you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed and made whole. And Lord, this morning, Lord God, with thanksgiving in our hearts, we take and eat of your body. You are here. Hold your cup up on three. You ready? We're going to say L'chaim. One, two, three. L'chaim, the life. We know that the Lord Jesus at Calvary poured out his life, that we could be partakers of that life. Not only mere partakers, but we can have that life and have it more abundantly. It's talking about our relationship with God. You can have as much of God as you're willing to put into that relationship. This cup also represents our vow of fidelity and faithfulness until our bridegroom returns. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we drink of your life this morning.
Waymaker, miracle worker.
Everybody say,
miracle worker.
Anybody know he's a waymaker tonight? He's a miracle worker.
Waymaker, miracle worker.
Even when I don't see that you're working. Can't feel it, you're working.
You never stop.
You never stop.
Add another 460 check. I left my check.